ball game belongs to my San Diego Padres.
The Major League Baseball season is set to begin. What should we expect from Chris Paddock? Will Denelson Lamet break out? How much will we see of Mackenzie Gore? This is 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable, starting rotation edition. Joining Steve Woods and Gwynn and Chris, here's your host, John Cantara.
Good afternoon and welcome to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Cantara going to be the moderator for this hour of our baseball roundtable today. And then at 1 o'clock, I'll get into my regular program. And I can tell you, coming up at 2:35 today, we'll have veteran writer from MLB.com who covers the Colorado Rockies, Thomas Harding, to join us, talk about Ian Desmond opting out of the 2020 baseball season and some of the comments Ian Desmond made yesterday regarding Major League Baseball. We'll look forward to hearing from Thomas Harding coming up at 2:35. Also, you may have missed it this morning. Matt Kemp signs a minor league deal with the Colorado Rockies. We'll see what Matt Kemp has left in the tank after getting let go last year after an injury with the Cincinnati Reds. But today, our Padres roundtable, we're going to focus on the Padres starting rotation. And I bring in my colleagues. Now, Ben Higgins, it started as July 4th a little bit early. So we excuse Ben today so he and his family could get on with their holiday, a little vacation for the big guy. But we're joined by Steve Woods of Ben and Woods. We're joined by Tony Gwynn Jr. and Chris Ello of Gwynn and Chris. And gentlemen, very nice to have you today and looking forward to this hour of talking about the Padres starting rotation.
Thanks, Coach.
Let's go, Coach.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to bequeath the opener to a former pitcher at Beverly Hills High in San Diego State, Chris Ello. We'll get it rolling. And let's start off with a big right-hander who I think really got us all excited last year and very excited about seeing where he's headed this year with no innings restriction, Chris. And that's the big right-hander out of Texas, Austin, Texas, to be exact, Chris Paddock.
Yeah, can't wait to see him pitch. I mean, I think that's the key deal. I mean, he's one of the main guys this year without question. And they talk about no, you know, innings restriction for Paddock, which is going to be a lot different than last year when he threw only 140 innings the entire year and 26 starts, averaged just over 5 innings per start. And that was the theme for really the entire Padres starting rotation last year, Coach, averaging a little more than five innings per start. And I think Chris Paddock would like to get that up to 6, maybe approach 7 if he could do it this year. But it'll be interesting in this shortened season. I mean, how much is he going to pitch the first few weeks? I would think 5 innings would be tops for him for the first 2 or 3 starts. But hopefully he can lengthen it out and start going into that 8th or 9th inning once in a while. Chris Paddock has obviously got all the talent. He's got all the skills. He's still working on that curveball a little bit, but he's you know, as long as that curveball comes along, I think he's just going to get better and better and better. But when you're coming off a 0.98 walks and hits to innings pitch ratio in your first season, that's pretty special. And you know, I think Chris can hopefully take it from there.
And I can tell you, Chris spent a lot of time this offseason. He was telling us at FanFest, boy, it seems like an eternity ago, when Braden and I were down there talking with him, he had been throwing a lot, even into just a net, to work on that rotation and keeping his hand on top of the baseball. And we'll see where it goes coming into 2020. Tony, let me ask you this. From a hitter's standpoint, when you see a guy – like Chris Paddock, that, you know, he kind of, at the end of the year, he had kind of that show me breaking ball. But let's face it, the guy's got a good changeup. He's got an exciting fastball. How do you go about hitting this guy?
Well, I think you try to stay on the fastball. I mean, ultimately, he can run it up there anywhere, up there 97 on a good night. And so you still have to be aware of it. But his changeup is the killer, right? If he's locating the changeup, that's when it becomes different. I mean, that is why the changeup and fastball is such a good mix, is if you can locate both pitches, you become that much more difficult to hit because of good arm action with obviously less velocity. And when you have to worry about that 97-mile-per-hour fastball, it complicates things. So to me, the addition, and as good as that curveball can get, I think that's the game changer. That's what makes Chris Paddock an ace, as opposed to being the good starter that he is right now. If he can add that third pitch and not just make it average, but maybe kind of raise the ceiling a little bit and really learn how to throw that pitch.
Hey, Woodsy, you're down there in that high rent district behind home plate all the time. What did you see out of Paddock last year in those home games?
Well, he's an electric guy to watch pitch. He's a good kid too, man. We got to sit down with him at spring training, and that's what I love. I mean, you know, we sit down in the little room there at spring training, and he's oh yes sir, no sir. He's really humble, and he gets on the mound, and he's a complete psychopath, and I love that. I think he pitches with a massive chip on his shoulder, and he wants to be the best. And you know, having that attitude, we loved that stuff last year with Pete Alonso. And look, and I know the old school baseball mentality is, you know, hey, let's be seen and not heard. But man, I don't know. Like, I think the tides are changing a little bit. And I, for one, am glad to have a guy like that on the San Diego Padres. Again, we talked a little bit the last roundtable we did about, you know, the attitude of this team and how it needed a little bit more of it. And that's something that he doesn't lack at all. He's got attitude. He's got the fire. Just one of my favorite guys to watch pitch. You know, every fifth day, I love when he gets the ball.
You know, when you take a look at Chris's numbers last year, 26 starts, he was 9-7 with a 3.33 ERA, 140 and two-thirds innings, gave up only 107 hits, walked 31 and 140 and two-thirds, 153 strikeouts, gave up 23 home runs. That was a little bit of a bugaboo for him at periods of time last year, but his whip was 0.98. And Tony, you know, I look at Chris right now, and I'm trying to envision a young Jake Peavy. He's bigger, he's stronger, he throws a little bit harder than Jake, but Jake had that tremendous attitude on the mound, and he had that wipeout slider, and he would never give in to hitters.
No, not at all. And Jake is actually a good comp for Chris in terms of the type of mindset you want. Now, listen, I don't mind the brashness. I really don't. I think it brings some excitement to the game. But you got to be careful because ultimately, as much as people may have enjoyed the Pete Alonso thing, Pete Alonso ended up with the last laugh. And I think that's the thing that, you know, you want to watch out for. You like to have guys who are confident about their game. But, you know, sometimes it can go a little bit far. And I think he learned a valuable lesson after that because it wasn't shortly thereafter that he started to struggle and really had to pull himself from really letting his season tank. And he got back on track. And I thought that was really the turning point for him. That's what makes me believe that he can have that, that he can be that ace that we're talking about. He can be that Jake Peavy because when things got tough, he dug deeper and was able to find himself and really straighten out the rest of last season and really be able to catapult himself into a phenomenal sophomore season if that breaking ball continues to develop.
Hey, Chris, you know, I was thinking about this last night when I was thinking about the round table. I was thinking about this rotation. This rotation may end up being a little bit better than we all anticipated maybe at the end of last year. Some of these guys were throwing pretty well during spring training. They've been working out hard even during this pandemic. But the thing that I was wondering about, Darren Balsley had been with this organization for a long period of time, good friend of mine, known him since he was a kid playing here. But now you got a different voice. You got Larry Rothschild, who's worked and had great success at the big league level. You just have to wonder what kind of impact the little bit different approach, maybe even just a couple of different terminologies from Darren to Larry Rothschild, what to maybe turn the key to open a door for Chris Paddock to move him even a bit forward in his development.
You know, the thing, when in all the pitchers we talked to, we asked about Larry Rothschild, and they all said something real similar, if I recall, Coach, because, as Woodsy said, spring training was a long time ago now. But everybody said that the thing they liked about Larry Rothschild is that he did not come in right away with a bunch of ideas and a bunch of things to say. He came in and listened, and that was the number one thing that they all said, from Garrett Richards right on through the staff of guys we talked to. You know, that he was listening and learning about these guys. And then after a while, he would make some suggestions and some alterations. I think that's the best way to go about it. I think He's a veteran pitching coach. He knows how to get the job done, and I think that the this staff still have a lot of the Darren Balsley feel to it. But yeah, I think it's going to only be a little bit better with Larry Rothschild. The one thing I wanted to say about Paddock before we move on is that, and I thought you hit it right on the head when you talked about Jake Peavy never gave in to a hitter. I think Chris Paddock gave in to a few too many hitters last year, and I'm only saying that based on his statistics. He only walked 31, which is phenomenal, but he gave up those 23 home runs. And I think that there were times last year when he got behind in the count, 2-0, 3-1, did not want to walk somebody, and got too much of the plate and got caught on the home run. So I wouldn't mind, you know, in general you say don't walk anybody, but I wouldn't mind him, you know, don't give in. If you have to walk a guy once in a while and you're behind on the count, then get the next guy. Just don't give up that 2-3-run home run, because as you said, Coach, that really that hurt him last year. When you got a whip underneath one, your ERA should not be over 3.5. So that to me is getting giving up too much runs for the amount of base runners you're allowing.
You're listening to our 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable. Today we're focusing in on our starting rotation with the Padres. And next Wednesday, July 8th, we will be evaluating the Padres infield. Steve Woods, I want you to close out the Chris Paddock conversation for the time being. And I'd like to kind of know what your expectations of Chris Paddock would be for this shortened baseball season.
Well, I tell you what, I'd like to see him go, you know, at the most, these guys can do, 12 starts, 60 games, right. Every fifth day if they go the, you know, standard route without tinkering too much. I know Chris, last week, Chris Ello had some great ideas about two starters a day. There's been talk of a six-man rotation, a four-man rotation. I don't know what Jace Tingler's going to do. I do know that Chris Paddock should get the ball every fourth, fifth, or sixth day, whatever they decide. And, you know, in a short season, max effort. And he gives max effort all the time. But, I mean, guys, the restrictor plates are off, you know, the red dragon. And that's Chris Paddock. You got to take those things off and let him eat. And I think you just give him that ball and squeeze every bit you can out of him this year, because I think he's so young. His arm's good. He's back to where, you know, he wants to be. I'd love to see him go out there and, you know, like Chris said, six, seven innings every single start. Kind of, you know, forgive the term, but balls to the wall for this very short season.
Well, we're going to jump over to the 27-year-old right-hander, Denelson Lamet, 6'4", 187 out of the Dominican Republic. Last year, coming off of Tommy John surgery, they brought him to the big leagues after rehabbing down in the minor leagues. He made 14 big league starts, 3-5 with a 4.07 ERA. Ended up logging 73 innings last year with 62 hits allowed, 30 walks, but 105 strikeouts in 73 innings. Did give up 12 homers and a whip of 1.26. And you know, Tony Gwynn Jr., we've been waiting for a while with Denelson Lamet. We saw him, you know, back in 2017, came on the scene. We saw that he had electric arm. Hasn't been able to really find that command yet. Hopefully, he's going to be able to do that this year, because I think this is a real big year for him. Even though he's coming off of Tommy John, he made several starts last year at the big league level. We really need to see him take that next step.
Agree more with you, Coach. I think he's a guy that probably is the most intriguing out of all of the starters this year, because we've seen him at his best when he's almost unhittable. And remember, he pretty much has two pitches. There's a little bit of different shape maybe with one of the breaking balls, but there isn't a big difference between the two. But when it's on, it really doesn't matter. He's basically a two-pitch guy that can get guys out with those two pitches as long as he's locating the ball. And I was actually surprised last year that he had the type of command he had after coming off Tommy John. Coach, as you know, most guys coming off of Tommy John, takes them a little bit to find the zone. But he didn't seem to have as much of a problem, or he seemed to be normal, right, before what he was before he had the Tommy John injury. But you're right. I think this is a huge year for him. If the Padres are going to have success in this sprint, we're calling it, His spot in the rotation is going to be very important. It just is. And I think the Padres are ready for him to take that next step forward.
Steve Woods, what I saw out of Denelson Lamet, I'm very encouraged, but he's one of these guys that I would say he's kind of a little bit of a scout killer. And what I mean by that, I mean, he shows you everything you want to see, and he'll mow guys down for three, 4 innings, and all of a sudden he gets into a jam, and he hasn't been able to learn to limit the damage. Rather than giving up maybe one or two runs, he'll give up three or four runs, and next thing you know, he's out of the ball game.
Yeah, you scratch your head, Coach, a lot of times watching Lamet, and I love to watch him. He's electric too. Such a fun young pitching staff to talk about and get to watch. You scratch your head. You're like, I don't understand this. He is carving guys. I mean, he's moving it in, out, up, down. He's painting. You know, slider is sliding. It looks like 6 feet. And you're going, all right, great. He's going to cruise through seven, turn it over the bullpen. Next thing you know, four spot. And I'm right there with you. I was going to say the same thing. And I don't know what it is, Coach. I don't know if it's, you hate to say losing focus. It's just maybe a little bit of touch or something on his pitches. I don't know. But it is that problem, that maybe, you know, a veteran like Larry Rothschild can come in and help him. Hey, man, giving up one run's fine. Giving up four is not fine. And that's something that, I think he's going to be able to learn. And you guys talk about ace potential. I mean, he's got it. There's no question about it. He is, you could see him starting game one, of a 7-game series, in the playoffs. There's no question about it. He's got that kind of good stuff.
Chris Ello, you're up there in that press box each and every start for Denelson Lamet. What did you see last year?
Well, I saw the same thing that you guys saw. I'm looking at a game that he pitched actually in Seattle last year on August the 6th, where he went 7 innings, allowed 2 hits, struck out 12, gave up no runs, turned it over to the bullpen, and cruised to a victory, and that's what you're talking about. The only problem is I only saw that one time all year. He didn't pitch 7 innings in any of his other starts last year. Now, some of that was pitch limit, et cetera. His first 5 starts, he was in the 80-pitch range, then had one game where he was over 100 pitches, and that was that night in Seattle where he had the 12 strikeouts. He had a 14-strikeout game later against Milwaukee. But here's the key. I got to see this more than once every 5 starts from Denelson Lamet. And, scout killer is a tough label to put on somebody, but yeah, you don't understand. I mean, how can he be so good some night? I mean, so untouchable, and then other nights just kind of give you kind of a haphazard, kind of a mediocre effort. So Lamet's another key. The Padres, you look at him as a strength in this rotation, hopefully pitching in the number 3 or 4 spot in the rotation. It'll take a little pressure off him, and he can just ease back and relax and just get the job done, because he's certainly more than capable of doing it. He's just got to do it more often.
Gentlemen, sit back and relax here for about 30 seconds. We got some good news coming from the Padres. They have just signed their third-round draft pick, Cole Wilcox. They signed him to a $3.3 million deal. His slot value is the 80th player taken over. First-round talent, but a lot of teams were shied away because they weren't sure they'd be able to sign a sophomore eligible. But the Padres, they did their due diligence. Padres, I got to give Mark Connor, A.J. Preller, the entire scouting staff, they did a great job. They signed every one of their players. There were 6 players taken in a 5-round draft. They had one compensatory pick in between the first and second round. They signed every one of their picks, aside from Wilcox, for under slot value. That four, they were able to sign Wilcox today. He gets, again, $3.3 million. His slot value at number 80 overall in the draft was $767,800. His fastball's reached 100 miles per hour. Got a power slider, a fading changeup, both plus pitches right now. And the third-round bonus now eclipse what the Padres gave last year to outfielder Hudson Head. So the Padres, well, I'll tell you what, they hit a home run in this draft. I mean, Robert Hassel going to be on the 60-man roster right now, get a lot of work. And I would imagine that Cole Wilcox, Tony, with 8 spots still available, I would think they would probably throw him in the mix and get him on that 60-man roster.
They may. I think that is the intriguing part of this year, is that guys that normally wouldn't have a shot will at least at the very least get a look and see what they do. Because in a season like this, you got to be prepared for anything. You don't know what kind of impossible injuries you could see down the line. So you got to have these guys available. And, you know, listen, I think with all due respect, there was only, what, five rounds this year? There should have been less issue getting guys in, and the Padres filled that void. They didn't have an issue getting their guys in, and it sounds like, based on the things that I've read and that we've seen, they were able to sneak a couple guys in this draft that maybe some other teams weren't willing to risk it on.
Steve Woods, let's talk a little bit about Garrett Richards. He made three starts at the big league level last year, coming off a Tommy John. I just want to ask one question of you, and you can break it down and give me your expectations, but how much do you think he's got left in the tank at 32 years of age, and a guy that's battled a lot of injuries the last 4 years?
I was surprised, Coach, when they made this move. It was, what, essentially $7 million a year. We knew we'd get 1 year at best, and now we're looking at a short season. So I hope that there's a ton left in the tank, to be honest with you. And when we talked to him at spring training, we watched him throw a bullpen, and I get it. We've all seen impressive bullpens before. Chris Ello probably threw a few, you know, in his day as well. But I'll tell you what, it's dirty. It was really, really dirty from what we saw. He's got a lot of confidence. He's feeling good when he was healthy. Now, granted, I mean, his best years, guys, were still – what, 5 years ago? So it's been a while since he's been, you know, really a dominant force. But I mean, that's exactly what we're looking for. 12 starts this year. That's what we need.
Well, you take a look at Garrett Richards, had some good years with the Angels. You go back to 2014 and 2015. In 14, he was 13-4 with a 2.61 ERA. The following year in 2015, 15-12 with a 3.65. But then since that, 2016, he made only 6 starts. 2017, he made only 6 starts. In 2018, he made a total of 16 starts. And then, of course, last year was coming off of Tommy John and made 3 starts at the big league level. And his numbers at the big league level last year, 0-1 with an 8.31 ERA, a whip of 1.85. He pitched 8 2/3 innings last year for the Padres, gave up 10 hits, and there you have it. Chris Ello, Garrett Richards, Buddy Black told me a number of years ago, when Garrett Richards was healthy, he's got Cy Young type stuff.
Here's the stat that I love about Garrett Richards, Coach, is that he is a 3-time champion in the American League for most wild pitches thrown in a season. The two seasons you talked about, 2014 and 15, he led the league with 22 wild pitches and 17 wild pitches. He had 15 a couple of years ago. But it's not like he walks everybody. My point is that his stuff is so electric, catchers can't even catch the ball. So if catchers can't catch the ball, what does that say for hitters who are trying to hit it? That's the kind of stuff that Garrett Richards has. I don't see any reason why he still shouldn't have that stuff this year. I mean, he's pitched, 170-some-odd games in the big leagues. He's made 120 starts. He should have plenty left, and his attitude is fantastic. We talked to him the other day on our show, and, I mean, we're saying, well, you're going to kind of ease into it and go five innings, and he goes, I don't see why I shouldn't be going 7 right out of the gate and ready to go. So he's been waiting a long time for this opportunity. He wants to prove that he's still got something left, and I think the Padres made a, you know, it's a gamble, but I think it's a gamble worth taking, because if Garrett Richards pitches anything like the 2015 or 2014 Garrett Richards, now the Padres have themselves a third big-time starter.
Yeah, you look at the lifetime record of Garrett Richards, 45-39 with a real solid 3.60 ERA. Tony, let me ask you, when you were playing, you ever face him during the regular season or in spring training?
No, I faced him during the regular season when I was with the Dodgers. It was not fun at all. I mean, I think the wild pitches is a window into the type of movement he gets. And the first time you face him, I know for myself, you get in that box, he's in his first year, and, you know, he's throwing fastballs that are cutting. But, you know, you see the catcher kind of having to jab at the ball to keep it from going to backspot. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, he's getting around the baseball. He's not purposely doing it. But as you start to go through the game, you got everybody coming back at the dugout saying the same thing. Man, the ball is just, it's cutting, and it's cutting late. And that's the kind of movement Garrett Richards has. I think Buddy is spot on. Like, when he's healthy, he has Cy Young type stuff. And unfortunately for him, he hasn't been able to remain healthy. Hopefully that part of his career is behind him. He's going to start to see some time on the field. And I think really, ideally, you'd like him to be your number one, because that takes some of the load off of Chris Paddock, who can kind of settle into that number two spot. But I'm excited for Garrett Richards this year. I really am. I think he's gonna. I think he can have a big year if he's healthy.
You know, Steve, you brought up a point earlier that I think we can continue to talk about throughout the course of this hour. And if you're just tuning in, this is our 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable. Our next one will be a week from tomorrow, July 8th, and that day we'll be evaluating the Padres' infield. Today we're breaking down the Padres' starting rotation. But, you know, we're talking about Garrett Richards, and you were talking earlier about, you know, how deep will guys go in the game, how many pitchers are going to be used. I mean, I like what the boys were just saying about when Garrett Richards was on their show. He goes, I actually be able to go eight right out of the blocks.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, that's what you want every time. And if you've ever held a baseball and you know, they say, yeah, you got the bump today, I mean, yeah, your ultimate goal is to go until it's over and you're the winner, and that's the only mentality to have. That's especially, you know, as healthy as he feels and has felt. Guys, and I think too, you know, one thing, these next few weeks are going to be interesting, because what we don't know is what most of these guys have been doing. And I, you know, we hope and we pray that they've been doing what they're supposed to do and throwing and getting their bullpens in. And I imagine that they have. They're professional ball players. But, I mean, I know of a few that haven't, you know, just kind of through the grapevine. Not on our team. I'll just put it like that. Not on our team. But, you know, you hope that these guys have been doing what they're supposed to do. These next 3 weeks are going to be, they're going to be so interesting to see, you know, those little tweaks that may happen. You know, you tweak a groin or a hammy or an elbow or whatever it may be. You know, I mean, we're all kind of on pins and needles, but if we get through it with the five guys at the front of the rotation that we think are going to be there, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Hey, I want to get to the newly acquired right-hander, Zach Davies, Chris Ello. I think you and I think people that really appreciate pitchers, we're going to appreciate this guy. This guy's not going to light up the jugs gun. He's going to throw somewhere in the neighborhood on a good day, 88 to 91. But he's had a very nice record of 43-32 in his career with the Milwaukee Brewers, career ERA of 3.91. He's going to mix and match. And Chris, I think you and I, he almost reminds me of that soft-tossing left-hander.
Yeah, he's a soft-tossing right-hander, I guess you'd call him. 155 pounds soaking wet. And if you see him up close, you think he's you don't think he's even on the ball club. He's 27 years old. He looks like he's about 14. And his nickname is Bat Boy. So that tells you what people think of him when they run into him. But the one game that I got to call with Tony and Jesse in spring training down in Peoria, he pitched, and he pitched four shutout innings and just was in complete control of the situation. And that's the thing you like. I mean, all of his pitches are working, throwing everything for strikes. And Coach, you love the phrase, I do too, but you put a little on, you take a little off, you move it in, you move it out, you move it up, you move it down, and you get guys out. I mean, that's the key for Zach Davies. So I'm looking forward to watching him pitch. I mean, he had a 3.55 ERA last year, which is just a tick ahead of what Chris Paddock had. One more games than Chris Paddock. He was 10 wins. Chris Paddock had 9, but went about it in a completely different way than Chris Paddock did. And I think so. It'll be fun to watch him pitch. And, you know, he's had a pretty good success. He had a 17-game win season in 2017 and made 33 starts. I mean, that led the league. So he's durable. And there's no reason why he shouldn't be out there every fifth day and giving you the innings and not throwing very many pitches. So he should be going to deep into games.
Hey, Woodsy, I always enjoy watching a pitcher, like Chris was saying. You know, basically you're adding and subtracting, and that's what Zach Davies does a great job. Really tries to throw those hitters' timing off.
I think he's such an under-the-radar pickup for A.J. Preller. I really do, and getting Trent Grisham back as well. And I know they had to give up Urias, but I'll tell you what, guys. He is, to me, I hate to call anybody, I said it this morning on our show, I hate to call anybody the poor man's anything, right? Because it feels like an insult, but it's not, in my opinion. He's kind of the poor man's Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs, and you watch him throw, and when those guys get in trouble and they get behind, they don't throw harder, they throw softer, and it drives hitters absolutely bonkers. And I couldn't be happier about this pickup, and I really feel like quietly he's going to be
a massive, massive get for this team. Great, great control. And he just knows how to pitch. And he's kind of one of those guys where you look at him, I bet you his heart rate never gets, you know, I bet he never goes above 60 beats a minute. He's just kind of calm and just doesn't really get affected by a lot. Whereas Chris Paddock's huffing and puffing, and we like that too. It's nice to have that as well. But I loved this move in the offseason. I love it now, and I'm really excited to see this guy pitch.
Yeah, I was very excited when they made that trade with Milwaukee. I've always enjoyed watching Zach Davies pitch. And Tony, I take a look at Davies' career mark in Milwaukee. 111 starts, a 43-32 record, a 3.91 ERA in her hitter-friendly home ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive in Milwaukee. Everybody who's watched a game there realizes the ball has a tendency to leave the yard at a high frequency there. And Kyle probably, there's a chance that Zach will have the chance to be the best pitcher on this staff. Like, as you guys mentioned, not a hard thrower, a guy that can command all of his pitches, though. And when he is, and his issue has been health, though, at least in the last year or so. Last year was his first year back. He missed most of it with some arm issues. So he's working his way back. And last year was his first healthy year after a year of not being healthy. So I'm with Woodsy on this, man. I'm excited about this is a low-key, quiet pickup for A.J. Preller. And he could be the stabilizing force in that rotation. You got a bunch of volatile pitchers that have high ceilings in the front, and then you get a guy that's kind of in that middle of the rotation there that can kind of steady the ship. And I think Zach can be that guy for the Padres this year.
Well, last year in 31 starts, he logged 159 and two-thirds innings and gave up 155 hits. So anytime you're giving up less hits than any pitch, you're doing a good job. And again, his record last year was 10-7 with a 3.55 earned run average. Let's get to the left-hander. The only left-hander right now scheduled to be in the Padre rotation, and that's 27-year-old left-hander Joey Lucchesi. He'll be with the ball club for his third straight year. Last year, 30 starts, a 10-10 mark, a 4.18 ERA, a whip of 1.22, ended up going 163 and two-thirds innings, gave up 144 hits. And Chris Ello, Joey Lucchesi, for me last year, I thought he made some strides. He didn't quite make as many improvements as I would have liked, but I know he's been working on a new pitch this offseason.
Well, you know, the thing about Joey Lucchesi is that he led the staff in innings pitched last year. He led the staff in victories last year. He led the staff in games started last year. I mean, he was the most reliable guy you had out there. And, you know, I think Joey's got it. Going to be quietly very, very tough to beat this year, probably pitching out of that number four or five hole most often. So matching up against four and five starters from other teams, I think gives Joey Lucchesi a real advantage to go out there and relax, knows he can give up a run or two and probably going to get some support offensively. So, yeah, Joey's I think he's a pretty good pitcher for a five or four guy. And I think that, you know, the depth is going to be so meaningful this year and in the short season with the short spring training. And, I think from Lucchesi on down to Quantrill, and you talk about it, if Lucchesi the only lefty, well, maybe he will be the only lefty if Mackenzie Gore doesn't work his way into some situations where he either starts ball games or comes in the middle innings. But I'm excited to watch Joey. Third year, should have it pretty well figured out by now. The one thing I've always enjoyed about him is when you talk to him after a ball game, he's always talking about things that he learned during the game and learned about himself, learned about hitters, learned about pitching. And he's like a sponge. He's soaking things up. And I think Larry Rothschild is going to be a big help for him. And I think you might see Joey Lucchesi take another step forward this year.
You know, Tony, I brought up, we talked with Joey at FanFest, and he really didn't, at that time, didn't want to give away what he was working on, but I found out later he's been working on a slider, and we'll see how that fares once they get underway. But give me your evaluation of his curve.
It's tough to evaluate, right? Because I think there's an element of a guy still – not used to seeing a ball that moves with that type of spin. Like a lot of hitting is recognition, and that's not a particular pitch that hitters have filed away in their minds, right? It takes them a little bit of time to see it and start to adjust. And a lot of these guys, unless you're in the West, you're not getting a chance to face Joey Lucchesi that much. So I think the slider's a good idea. You always had to wonder a little bit with the curve that it's not moving hard enough like the slider. It kind of gives you the same movement. It'll be interesting to see as he starts to throw that slider if he tends to go to that more than the curve, because they kind of do the same thing, right? One maybe is a little bit slower, and I'm not so sure how that works having two off-speed pitches that are really working the same exact direction. So you want something that can go the other way, like maybe a natural change that's kind of moving away from right-handed hitters. But he's still developing. And listen, I think things have changed a lot, right? Because if you would have asked me this during spring training, Joey was struggling a little bit. And there was clear that it was starting to turn into a competition of Cal Quantrill and Joey Lucchesi really kind of battling out for that fifth spot. But I think now with a 60-game season and there only being a three-week 2.0 spring training, all bets are off. We just don't know what it's going to look like in terms of rotation, how they handle it. And I think Joey obviously will be squarely in that mix.
You know, Steve, whenever Lucchesi takes the mound, I feel pretty confident because he goes out there, he gives you everything he has. And, you know, when you take a look at the projected starting five for the Padres right now, I mentioned right now he's supposed to be the only left-hander, but he's also the only guy in the rotation that has a little funk to his delivery.
Watch, and isn't it great too, guys? I mean, you know, last year we're talking, maybe last year, 2 years ago, you know, this kid, Joey Lucchesi, and we can't wait to see Joey Lucchesi. And then the next thing you know, he comes up and he's been pretty good. You know, he pitches really well at Petco Park, needs to pitch a little bit better on the road. But I'll tell you what, isn't it funny that now Joey Lucchesi is now slotted back to the five spot in the rotation where, you know, there's going to be depth. There's going to be competition, as Tony mentioned. I like watching Joey pitch. It's not like watching some dominant lefty. Like, I don't think he definitely doesn't have the stuff of like a Clayton Kershaw or Mackenzie Gore even. You know, it's a different type of left-handed pitcher. But he is fun to watch. And like Chris said, man, talking about depth, he as your five, that's pretty good. I'll take that every single day.
Okay, we're going to get to Mackenzie Gore here in a few minutes, but I want to stay with the guys right now that more than likely legitimately are in competition. And, Tony, you brought up Cal Quantrill. Last year at the big league level, the former number one pick, 23 games, 18 starts, 6-8, 5.16 ERA. And, Tony, I thought he really ran out of gas, so I don't really know who the real Cal Quantrill is right now.
Yeah, no, I saw the same thing you saw, Coach, and it wasn't for not trying to work either. The dude was working his butt off trying to figure it out. And, you know, for a lot of guys who are experiencing the big league grind for the first time, towards that back end of the season, you can't help it. There is a wall that you run into, and I think Cal Quantrill hit that. Prior to that wall, though, he was really good. He had a nice streak of having some fantastic starts. And listen, I think that is what allowed him to be in this competition coming into this next spring training. And I think he's squarely going to be one of those guys that's going to be competing at least early on in the season. Because remember, with that three-week season, nobody's going to be, at least I wouldn't expect. Now, I think Garrett Richards might differ on this, but I wouldn't expect guys to be, our teams to be willing to run guys out there for 5-6 innings first 2 weeks of the season. But I expect Cal Quantrill to be in this mix. He's got some terrific stuff. He's a bulldog out there, and he's got some pedigree. I think that counts for something. A guy who's been around this level isn't overwhelmed by being at the big league level and being able to make pitches when he wants to. I think it's just a matter of him getting more reps. I think he's going to be squarely in this mix, as I said.
Well, there's no reason to push him with an added roster and the depth of the Padre bullpen. The Padres can go to that bullpen early and often if they have to. Chris Ello, Cal Quantrill, what do you got on him?
Got a couple of things, Coach. Number one, if you look at the starting pitchers returning from last year, guess who averaged the most innings per start of the guys coming back? That's Cal Quantrill, 5.7 innings per start last year. That's more than Joey Lucchesi. That's more than Chris Paddock. That's more than Dinelson Lamet. That's even more than Zach Davies did with Milwaukee. So, as Tony said, he's a bulldog. He comes after you. And I think a lot of people are going to take a look at his final numbers, and they're going to see 6-8 with a 5.16, and they're going to say, well, that's not all that. I mean, that's pretty mediocre at best. Well, go back to mid-August, like you said, before he hit that wall. He was 6-3 with a 3.23 ERA. I mean, he was pitching some great baseball until the last six starts. He lost five in a row and then had a no decision in his last start of the year. But before that collapsed on him, he was as good as any guy they had. And he was throwing over 100 pitches most times out, or many times out there. So I think Cal Quantrill is a real good, you know, for lack of a better term, number six. And I think a number six is a guy that you're going to definitely need this year, whether it's as a combined starter with somebody else in the first couple of weeks, or just sitting, you know, jumping into the rotation on a you know, stretch of games where you don't have a day off.
You're listening to our 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable. Today we're focusing in on our starting rotation for the Padres. And next Wednesday, July 8th at 12 o'clock, we'll have another roundtable, evaluate the Padres' infield. Woodsy, do you think Cal Quantrill can bust into this five-man rotation?
Yeah, I think he can. He's there was that streak that Chris talked about. There was a time, guys, where I mean, I remember putting on SportsCenter, MLB Tonight, and they're like, Cal Quantrill right now is the best pitcher in baseball based on the last three or four starts. It was something ridiculous, this little streak that he went on. He's got really good stuff, you know, smart guy, cerebral guy, but again, has that mentality of, like, I'm going to attack. That's the thing with him. If he gets behind, that's when he gets pounded, just like every young pitcher, right? I mean, every young pitcher, you know, they go 2-0. Guys are going to tee off on guys like Cal Quantrill. So if he can use his pitches, mix his pitches, and again, Rothschild, I think, is going to be a big help for him as well. He's going to be flipping the slider up there. He throws hard enough to get outs at the big league level. I mean, again, it's kind of, you don't want to say an embarrassment of riches, but depth. That's what AJ Preller has done such a good job at. And again, good problems to have for the San Diego Padres right now.
Hey, Tony, what's the game plan for Michelle Baez? Are they going to try to make him into a starter, or are they going to keep him in the bullpen?
I think they will. I think they will try to make him into a starter, and this is the perfect season to do it, right? I think at least early on, and everybody's going to get that chance to look. But he also has shown the ability to be able to come out of the bullpen. It's in a season like this, having guys that are multidimensional in terms of being able to swing, whether they can be a starter or whether they can be a reliever. I think those guys can be valuable in a season like this. And I think they'll probably try to stretch him out as good as they can prior to getting to the regular season, and they'll kind of see, and again, it'll depend on how they're going to go about it. But I like guys like Michelle Baez, because he can do some different things. He can start, he can relieve. He's shown the ability to have a dominant changeup. It's one of the better changeup on this staff. I think he has a chance to kind of be the swing guy and do a little bit of both.
You know, Chris, last year when I was looking back at Michelle's numbers, boy, he got into 24 big league games last year, had one start, a 1-1 mark, and a 3.03 ERA, ended up logging 29 2/3, giving up 25 hits, and he had some pretty dominating performances, especially in coming into some very difficult relief situations.
Yeah, and it's another weapon for the Padres. I mean, the thing, you know, we're going to talk about their bullpen and another roundtable, and it's just amazing to me that we're talking about all of this talent, all of these guys, all of these arms, without ever even getting to the real strength of what this staff is, which is, you know, Kirby Yates and Emilio Pagan and Drew Pomeranz and Craig Stammen and all the guys down there in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning. But Michelle Baez, to me, is a guy that helps you get to the 6th, 7th, 8th inning. And I'm not saying he does it from from the starting or starting and going into the 7th, 8th inning. But I don't know what Jace Tingler's plan is early in the year, but I think you're going to see some guys that are openers and guys that go, you know, 2-3 innings out of the gate just to try to get through the rotation one time and then let the starter come in after that. And I think Michelle Baez is the perfect guy to use in that situation. So the more arms that you have that can help get you to the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning where you've got those lockdown guys out there in the bullpen, the better season you're going to have. And that's the great thing about, you know, what I'm hearing today is, I mean, we're sitting here talking about 7, 8, 9 guys. We haven't even mentioned Matt Strom's another one who could possibly come in and give you some innings early in ball games or middle ball games. So it is deep, and depth in the starting rotation might be one of the most important things about this 60-game season for any team.
Hey, Steve Woods, do you like Baez as a starter or as a reliever?
Yeah, it's a great question, Coach. I mean, he's young. You know, he's young right now, and it seems that we have our, at least all of it, doesn't it seem our brain is all trained on the Padres starting five right now. It just kind of looks good. It feels good on paper when you put it down. I'm not sure what they do. He's got an absolutely electric arm, as do so many other guys down in that pen. You know, you got guys like Adrian Morejon as well, who I know, you know, you want to possibly turn those guys into starters. Coach, I don't know. And it's a depth thing with the San Diego Padres. And, you know, it's funny. It all kind of played out to their advantage. And I know there's a lot of hype about the Padres nationally, which is when they talk about those teams that could jump up and surprise, you know, every other team, the Padres are mentioned in almost every single article, every single piece. You know, the pressure, I guess, is on right now in a 60-game season. But again, more weapons. If somebody gets hurt, you know, if somebody gets hurt in summer camp, if you will, well, I mean, there's a couple of names we've already thrown around that guys can slide right into the rotation. So I think if you need him, Coach, you have no problem putting him in the rotation to start the season.
You're listening to our 97.3 The Fan Baseball Roundtable. Today we're starting talking about the Padres starting rotation. The top of the hour, I'll excuse my colleagues, and we'll open the phone lines up. I'll have my regular show all the way up until 3 o'clock. Then it'll be Gwen and Chris for a full 4 hours. You mentioned, Steve, Adrian Morejon, and I got to be honest, and I'll come right back at you on this one. Last year, I was a little frustrated because I really didn't know what the Padres' game plan was for him. We saw him a couple of times as an opener. He's a guy that throws hard. He's a guy that, for what I saw, has a hard time repeating his delivery. And, you know, I just don't know where he's headed. If they want to make him a starter or reliever, I just know the kid does have some talent.
Yeah, he's got one of those names that you hear a lot about. And I'm sure, Coach, when phone calls are made to A.J. Preller, I'm sure his name is mentioned more often than not. Yeah, will you guys throw in Morejon? And, you know, A.J. Preller's been pretty reticent to do that so far. But I promise you, based on stuff alone, I mean, again, we're talking, you know, got into 5 games last year, 8 innings. So nothing really to get super excited about, obviously. But the stuff is certainly there. And, again, one of those names that I promise you, every time that phone rings, his name is on the other end of it. I guarantee you, Coach. And I don't really know. I really don't know what to do with him either. I do know that lefties that have that kind of stuff, not somebody you want to give up on too soon. That's for sure.
Chris Ello, Adrian Morejon, last year shows he's got the good fastball, not great command, but a lot to work with. There's no question about it.
Yeah, I don't know how much I can make out of 8 innings of work for a whole season, you know, and when he walked 3 guys. So he's got a, you know, he's young. And, you know, I mix him in there with a guy like Javi Guerra, who comes at you from the other side. But another young guy with, you know, talent and the ability to get that ball up there in a hurry. Middle innings, 5th inning, 6th inning. These are the kinds of innings that I think Jace Tingler can use these guys. Get yourself to the Stammons, get yourself to the Pomeranzes, get yourself to Pagans later in the ballgame. So there are so many of them for the Padres, and it's just a matter of figuring out which guys are going to be, you know, be pitching well and have them in the games at the right time.
You know, Tony, I look at a guy like Morihone, and we're going to get to Mackenzie Gore here in a couple of more players before we get out of here. But I look at a guy like Morihone. If you can get him lassoed and throwing well at the big league level, you know Gore's going to come through. Patino, boy, the Padres could be sitting like a cat eating persimmons going forward the next several years.
They do. They certainly could be. And having a guy like Morihone, if he could live up to what a lot of the things that, you know, I think a lot of scouts who've seen him throw the baseball feel like he could be, absolutely. Eight innings, however, is tough to really predict. And after that eight innings, we found out he had some arm issues. So he has to get back healthy right now. I don't know where his in those eight innings, he didn't throw the ball that well. And so because of that, I think he might be a little bit behind some of the other guys that we're going to talk about on this list. But certainly, should he be healthy and can get to that the level that I think a lot of people think he can get to, absolutely. Having arms like him, especially left-handed arms like his, certainly advance it can help advance a ball club in their ambitions to plan deep into a postseason.
Tony, I want to come right back at you because I do want to get to Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino. We got about 8 minutes left, but I did want to ask you about a 30-year-old right-hander who made the 52-man roster, and he's had some interesting years with the Philadelphia Phillies. That's the right-hander Jared Eichhoff. Is he more of an insurance policy, or does he have a shot, you think, to make this opening day roster?
Again, Coach, because of the circumstances, everybody's got a legitimate shot. Yes, there are some guys that are shoo-ins for this roster, but there are certainly going to be some surprises on here, I think, too. Eichhoff could be one of them. He's shown the ability to be a very good pitcher at the big league level. He's just been very inconsistent. And listen, pitching in a ballpark like Citizens Bank Park can do that to you, and not to say that it was solely the ballpark. We saw him pitch a few years ago against the Padres and look unhittable. Then we saw him a few starts later look like a completely different guy. So he'll be one of the names that's in this hat that has a chance. I think he's probably an insurance policy as of right now, but things can change once people start getting on the bump and throwing the baseball.
All right, let's get to Mackenzie Gore right now because this kid is still only 21 years of age. He had a remarkable season a year ago at Lake Elsinore, 15 starts, 7-1, and a 1.02 earned run average, 79 in the third innings pitched. He gave up only 36 hits, gave up four homers, 20 walks, and struck out 110 and 79 in the third. Then he went up to Amarillo, better hitters in Double-A, and he had mixed results, 2-1 with a 4.15 ERA, a 1.29 WHIP, 21 and two-thirds innings, gave up 20 hits, three homers, eight walks, but he still had a high strikeout rate, 25 punch-outs in 21 and two-thirds innings. And I think Steve Woods, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris, we're all excited, and we want to see this guy on a big league mound. When will we see him, and what type of role, Steve Woods, do you think we'll see him in?
It's a great question, Coach. I think, you know, Padre fans aren't going to want to hear this, and we talked a little bit about it on Ben and Woods. You know, the service time situation with Mackenzie Gore, I think it works out to bring him up about a week into the 60-game season, and you get an extra year. And for a guy you weren't really counting on opening day, if opening day was the opening day we expected it to be, which it's now not, he wasn't going to be on this roster. I think we all can pretty much agree that he was going to be a midseason guy. But now the circumstances have changed. So call him up in a week. Use him when you need to. I don't think you use him as a, you know, lefty on lefty guy. I know they got to do the three batter rule now, but I just think use him when it's smart to use him. And that's going to be part of the challenge for Jace Tingler is when to put him out there. Why put him out there? All of those questions, Coach. I hate to say wait and see, but yeah, I mean, I want to see him. I want to see him opening day, but that's not going to happen.
You know, Chris, though, the thing that's going to be unfortunate for not only for Mackenzie Gore and his family, but for all of us Padre baseball fans, we've been talking about this kid ad nauseum since they drafted him, and he's gone through the minor leagues with these dominating numbers last year, just a magnificent year at Lake Elsinore, number one pitching prospect in baseball. And whenever he does make his debut, and I do believe it'll be this year, you and I and Tony and Woodsy and the whole gang, we're not going to be able to be in the ballpark to watch it.
We got Ted Leitner and Jesse Agler to carry us through on the radio call, and we'll be fine. But look, I think Mackenzie Gore is going to make a little bit of a different debut than people are expecting. I think, you know, a guy like this, you think of him as an ace starting pitcher, and so, you know, you're going to, you know, wait a couple of weeks, bring him up, find a spot start or two for him when you need him. I'm not so sure that that's how they have to use him this year. I think with the depth in the starting rotation, I could see him being in a game where Zach Davies starts and pitches the first four innings, and then Mackenzie Gore comes in and pitches the fifth and sixth, and then you get it over to that bullpen. Or Mackenzie Gore starts and goes two or three innings one time through the batting order, and then he comes out of there and Denelson Lamet comes in and pitches three innings. There's so many inventive and fun things you can do because you have the depth to be able to do stuff like that. And we're watching teams have a great success with the openers. We're having, you know, great success with mixing and matching pitchers. And there's nothing wrong with putting a dominant left-handed guy at the start of a ball game and then bringing a dominant right-handed pitcher in, you know, in the middle of the ball game and messing up the other team's lineup. So I think Mackenzie Gore, he's a weapon that you can use in a lot of different ways, and I think you'll see him used in a lot of different ways.
Tony, I'm pretty excited about this kid. You know, I don't know when and if they're going to bring him up. I got to believe we're going to see him at some point in 2020, but he is something special.
Yeah, no, I think we'll see him. I don't know when or how that is or what it looks like at this point, but I have a hard time believing that there's a 60-game season in which there is no minor league season. Mind you, they won't get – a lot of these minor guys who were slated to be in the minor leagues won't get any reps other than what the big league teams are able to provide for him. So I have a hard time believing he doesn't get to see the field this year. How big that role is, what it looks like, I think we're all on our toes waiting to see what that is. But in my mind, there's no doubt we're going to see him. Just thinking a regular season, regular 162, we probably would have started having this conversation sometime towards the second half of the season, maybe September, maybe a little bit earlier. Now in a 60-game season where there are no innings to be had for minor leaguers, I just have a hard time not seeing him.
Well, we're just about out of time. I wanted to get to Luis Patino real quickly. Let's talk about Patino. I think we're going to go to the top of the hour, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to go to 59:15. So we're just going to play through that sound right there. Steve Woods, Luis Patino, the right-hander, he's a guy that we may see in 2020 as well.
Oh, did you say Patino? Because I had that music in my ear, Coach. I'm assuming that's
Patino.
Who you're talking about.
Yeah, Patino.
He's so dirty. He is so dirty. I mean, come on. Like, yeah, he's another one. In the Chris Ello role, right? That role that Chris just talked about, the fifth, sixth, seventh inning maybe. So many guys can fill that role. And I just, you know, we haven't even delved into the bullpen yet. But, I mean, there's been so many pitchers in baseball that, you know, call them failed starters. Not that he is one, that have ended up being ridiculous closers or ridiculous setup men. Sky's the limit for him. He's got filthy, filthy stuff.
Hey, we got about 2 minutes left. Tony, give me your thoughts on Patino.
I saw from him in the futures game. I mean, listen, anytime you can have a guy who's running it up 100-plus, those are good things to have in today's game. And ultimately, as it is with all young guys, you want them to be able to hone that in the strike zone, because guys who can throw that hard and command the baseball are equally as difficult, probably the most difficult to hit in our game today. So, yeah, he's another one. He's another guy who's on the radar. Hasn't got as much hype as Mackenzie Gore, maybe not as polished as Mackenzie Gore, but certainly is a guy that we probably will see something from at some point this season as well.
Chris Ello, you excited to see the right-hander Luis Patino, who's still only 20 years of age?
I know. I just looked this up, Coach. He was born in 1999. I mean, come on. These guys are getting younger and younger as we go along here. But absolutely excited to see what he can bring. And, I mean, you just think about what the potential for a rotation is in I don't know, 2 years. I mean, you could have a Paddock rotation, Lamet, Gore, Patino. If all these guys, you know, turn out to be the way that they, you know, people are saying that they're going to turn out, and they could turn out. It's just the sky is the limit for this team, and I think that they're going to get a lot of great experience this year in the 60-game season, because they're going to get stress innings, and there's going to be stressful ball games and stressful innings, and I think that that's something that tends to quicken your pace in terms of your learning curve, because you got to pitch under some pressure, and I think that that's a good thing for these young guys.
Okay, gentlemen, as we close this out, and then I'm going to open the phone lines up at the top of the hour. We'll take phone calls. We'll get into my regular program. I just need one answer real quick. Steve Woods, who should be the Padres' opening day starter?
That's Chris Paddock, coach.
All right, Tony Gwynn Jr.
Garrett Richards.
Chris Ello?
Garrett Richards.
All right, I'm going to go with Chris Paddock, so it ends in a tie. Gentlemen, a great hour. Really enjoyed it. You guys have a great
really
day.
We really helped
huh?
Chase Tingler out there, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cake, Chase.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Coach.
All right,
Coach.
Hey, we're
going
to get to the top of the hour and hope you enjoyed our baseball roundtable focusing in the Padres starting rotation. Come back. We'll get to the John Quintero Show next right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.